You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You want a shot at playing in late October?
You got to start talking now.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show
with Kyle Seeloff,
driven by AutoNation,
is on 940 Wins.
Miami Sports.
All right, what's going on? We're back. Tuesday the 12th. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Joining us tonight is J.P. Aaron Sebia. You're listening to the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation. And as always, it's good to be with you. Good show coming your way tonight. In just a bit, we'll be chatting with Hector Crespo. He is the Marlins Assistant Director of Player Development. He has kept a close eye on many Marlins playing this winter, many of them having very productive off-seasons playing. So we'll throw a bunch of names at Hector. We'll get a brief report on a handful of guys that have had some success in winter ball this off-season. And in addition, Garrett Cooper will join us towards the back end of the program tonight. Coop had a real good abbreviated 2020 season. Six home runs, 34 games, had that big home run against the Cubs in Game 2 of the National League Wild Card Series. So that's that. That's what's on the agenda tonight. JP, good to have you with us this evening. Happy New Year. What's going on, man?
Nothing. I actually, on the drive to the ballpark, I was so excited. I mean, it's like you feel as a player.
Yeah, we're at the ballpark tonight.
Yeah, as a player, I used to always, you know, January 1st was that kind of cutoff for me mentally of like, all right, time to get going. Mm. Baseball's back. And, you know, in the media side of things, it's a little different. But when you're driving to the park, you feel like the excitement of baseball being around the corner. So that's fun. And obviously following the offseason, I think it's about to get a little hot here in the near future because the season's around the corner.
Well, there's a report yesterday in the USA Today that Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred has informed all 30 Major League ball clubs to proceed as if spring training is going to start on time and that the regular season will consist of 162 games. You mentioned as a player formerly January 1st was kind of like all gas, no brakes, time to rock and roll. I'd be curious to talk to some guys now, and maybe we'll ask Coop shortly, what was kind of that go time this year? Because there has been so much in the air. I'm sure guys have prepared for an on-time start, but the free agency thing is weird. Ton of guys don't have teams coming on the heels of a really weird 60-game abbreviated 2020 season.
Yeah, you know, even with speaking with guys, I think that they were kind of unsure of when this would happen and when the season would happen, when spring training, and teams had told guys, hey, be ready to report on time, but we're not sure yet. Which, yeah, still, if you hear that as a player, it doesn't really, the gas doesn't get pushed all the way down. I think yesterday's announcement solidifies that in a sense, but guys should have been preparing as if they were going to report on time. The one thing you do not want to get is caught not prepared, especially, you know, going to spring training. There's not going to be a ton of guys. They're not going to have the double A, the triple A, the single A, and on down. There's going to be a small group of guys that I saw were reporting early. And so you want to make sure when you're there, you have an opportunity to make an impression because you're going to have time to get a lot of playing time because there's not going to be as many guys getting ready for the season. So I'm excited. You know, I think that announcement's going to make teams really make some moves, and we should be seeing here. There's a lot of free agents that are still out there without a job. So
yeah.
I think that once the big – usually in the offseason, you know this, Kyle, as soon as that big piece falls, it kind of starts to – they set the tone and everybody under starts to really – you know, find the team, find a home.
Well, there are a lot of free agents available, and there are still some really big names on the free agent market. I was talking last week that I guess in a sense you could throw some of these guys into tiers, but if you're talking still tier one players, DJ LeMahieu, George Springer, Trevor Bauer, JT Realmuto, Marcell Ozuna, you know, the tier two guys, you could throw Marcus Semien in there, Nelson Cruz, Didi Gregorius. There are some guys sitting out there with bona fide major league service time that are extremely capable, if not guys, that could really lead the team over the course of the season. So you're right. It's going to be really interesting. Now that there's a sense that we're going to start on time, 30 teams now can try to put things into motion and get some of these guys on their rosters.
Well, and I think it gives teams opportunities to get those one-year deals.
Yeah.
I still think, and which makes more contenders on picking up these free agents because a team may see a guy who they're interested in, but can hand them that 1 year, $7 to $10 million deal, and that player wants to get that 1 year solidified, and who knows what can happen next free agency. But that's where I think everybody now is in play because you, if you're, it's a 2-year deal for 14 and you get a 1-year deal for 10, I mean, now you really have to think about these things because who knows if this, it's better for to bet on yourself to see what happens when fans can come in right. and all that stuff. So I think it
because there are legitimate concerns financially throughout the league, and that, you know, how could you blame a team for not wanting to give a guy 5 years and $100 million? So you're right. At some point, these guys have to bet on themselves, take their 10, 15 million. If you're a superstar, 20 million, and say, I'm going to go kick butt this year because I'm going to try to get that big contract next year.
Which makes it interesting to me, Kyle, because now that puts in teams that are in play that don't want to necessarily tie themselves up, but feel that they have an opportunity.
Right.
They're one or two pieces away from making a run, being like a team that's in contention. Now they can approach those offseason, that those players, the free agents, and be a factor as opposed to usually you're a non-factor because you don't want to tie up 6 years, 5 years, 4 years, whatever it may be. Now it puts kind of more guys at play.
Well, and to your point, there could be teams and fans of teams that are sitting here now saying, you know, maybe next year we're still rebuilding a little bit. You know, we got to need a shortstop. We got to need a DH. But they don't have a lot of money on the books. All of a sudden, somebody can go out and pick up Marcus Semien and Nelson Cruz. And now all of a sudden, there's a conversation, well, now that we got these two guys, we feel like we have a chance to compete this year. That's kind of some of the talent that's still out there.
That's the biggest thing is how do you puzzle the team? And that's why it's so fun. I think, you know, from the front office as a player, you look at those things is, I think also to add another element to that is how do I sign a guy for 1 year? He goes out and has a monster season. And at the trade deadline, I go out and give him to a contending
right.
team. And all of a sudden I just pluck two of their prospects for my next year. Right. So there's different layers to that 1 year deal player who you give a chance, you have a flyer with him. Yes. If maybe you can get a couple and now your contending team makes a difference, but all of a sudden, you get a 1 year deal. That player goes off, and he is a big piece at the break. Let's say it's one prospect.
Yeah.
Now you have that player for 6 years at the minimum, and that's
yeah.
and that's another layer to, you know, when you make a decision to sign a guy, it's a possibility. You have to think ahead.
Yeah, and you know, on the heels of a very unusual 2020 season that ended up being an extremely successful one for the Marlins, I want nothing more to have 6 weeks of spring training and play 162 games because that's when it's fun. It's every night. It's 7 o'clock. And, you know, there's still this COVID thing is still going to hang over all 30 teams. But I think the players showed last year that they're capable of getting through this thing. The Marlins and the Cardinals probably hit the hardest by it. But you know, if everybody can be careful, I think everybody's just looking forward to getting back to that grind every night. As weird as that sounds, you know?
Not, it doesn't sound weird. That's, I think that these guys want to play 162 as much as anybody
yeah.
else. I mean, it's what you have done your entire life. And yes, although you got to play last season, it was short. And it's not, you all these guys had prepared for a regular season. And then all of a sudden came spring training. We're about to break. And then everything is gone. And so these guys want that season. These guys want that opportunity, and obviously 162, there's a difference in the pay as well.
Yeah.
Know? So there's a lot of factors of motivation, but I'm excited because you see basketball going. You see NHL's, is it not opening night tonight, right?
Yeah.
Or NHL's getting going. So it feels like that there is progress. There's a vaccine out there now. There's the progress of getting back to what we all know and what we all miss, which is obviously normalcy, but for the time being, you know, them playing, a team playing and being out there 162 games gives a ton of people hope, gives a lot of people a chance to follow a team. And you know, I'm excited for baseball, and I'm looking forward to 162.
The offseason has been quiet, but if there's one division in all of Major League Baseball, you would say probably not so much. It might be the National League East. If you start here in Miami, I would throw Starling Marte into the mix because there was no guarantee he was coming back. But the Marlins pick up that option, and that's basically like acquiring a player again. They shore up the bullpen a little bit here with Adam Simber and Ross Detweiler, a couple of veterans. They get Zach Pop in the Rule 5 draft, Paul Campbell in the Rule 5 draft as well. Sandy Leone in the mix now to potentially back up, start. You don't know how the catching situation is going to play out. But then you kind of expand the umbrella. The entire National League East sure is going to be competitive again.
Well, is the owner Cohen for the Mets? Is that the gentleman who purchased the team?
Yeah, I think that's with unlimited, endless funds apparently.
Right? And it's just like he's setting the world on fire, and obviously the East already is the Braves are the Braves. You know, the Phillies are the Phillies, and the Nationals have picked up a few bats as well, big left-handed power bats. So then you look at the Marlins. Well, they acquired a big left-handed pitcher that's going to be a huge part of that bullpen.
Yeah.
Simber, who's a drop-down righty, who makes it
a lot of funky
tough.
Looks out there.
And that's where you start to realize you need guys, one, that can get three outs, because obviously we know that you can't just have one. The one batter minimum is different, right? So that's where I think the Marlins need to make the most hay is in that bullpen. I mean, that's where you make – they have starters, and yeah, you can – get more starters, but they have starters. That bullpen is how they can combat these big left-handed bats.
Yep.
And that's something that I'm excited to see, that they've been able to pick up the arms that they've picked up.
And at the end of the day, over the course of 162-game season and the dog days of summer, it's a matter of who's healthy, especially over a long grind. But, hey, we're going to chat more about the National League East coming up shortly alongside J.P. Arencibia. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Are you ready to buy a new car? If you are, you can get New Year savings now at AutoNation. And if you're ready to sell your car, we go over this every week. It's as easy as ABC. Any AutoNation store, bring in your car, get a check on the spot. They're going to buy your car whether you buy theirs or not. Pretty good deal. You'll get a check on the spot in as fast as 30 minutes, so you can turn it into cash right now. Sell your car fast at AutoNation. Visit AutoNation. When we return, we're chatting with the Marlins Assistant Director of Player Development, Hector Crespo. You're listening to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff, driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
All right, welcome on back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation, right here on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app, alongside former big leaguer J.P. Arencibia. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Make sure you experience opening day live at Marlins Park this season. That sounds pretty enjoyable after what we just experienced last year with the Marlins' new opening day bundle. Starting at $65, you can build your own bundle. You can get tickets to three games, including opening day in 2021. Plus, you get a choice of a Marlins cap, including floral options. If you're interested, visit marlins.com/bundle. We continue on the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation tonight. And joining us first over the phone this evening is Hector Crespo, the Assistant Director of Player Development for the Miami Marlins. Hector, thanks for joining us tonight. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
We are doing well. We are excited. It is the new year. Happy New Year to you and everybody up in Jupiter. I know you guys have been working hard. Hector, shot you an email. Wanted you to join us tonight because you keep a close eye on everything that goes on for the Marlins, especially during the offseason and guys that you have down playing in winter leagues scattered across Latin America. Before we get into particular individual names, I'd like to know the process you guys go through following a season when you start to determine or guys start to come to you guys with, hey, I want to go play in winter ball. How do you go about that process?
Yeah, so that process kind of begins usually in spring training. We'll have the winter league clubs bring their front office executives and ask to meet with us just to go over some players they have interest in, players that they've had from our organization that have played with them already, and kind of begin that process. And then towards the end of the major league season, we'll submit a list of those clubs and MLB of players we have deemed that would benefit from playing in winter leagues, and also those who we feel should not. So then that process goes, and the clubs will submit back to us specific players of who they want to request permission on. And from there, we can either deny or request permission. So if we deem that a player would benefit from playing in that season, we'd give permission for them to play with that club, and vice versa. If we feel that it's not a good opportunity, we deny. But that's kind of in a basic perspective as far as the description goes. It's kind of the short term, but a lot goes into it. But it's a long process, but it's a good one.
Hector, what's up? It's JP, and I am excited to just be talking to you and here with Kyle, because obviously baseball's around the corner. In the winter season and in winter ball, how many times, or does it happen? Because I feel like, and I'll give you an example, Robinson Chirinos, when I was with the Texas Rangers, my first year coming in, he had a huge offseason in Venezuela, and I felt like he came into the season as the favorite in a sense to be the guy because of how big of a season he had in Venezuela. How many decisions are made in the sense of a guy having a really, really good, you know, winter ball season, or a guy having a bad dude? Can guys put themselves on the map of even possibly breaking a team because of what they've done in winter ball? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question, JP, and I appreciate you asking that. Yeah, I think it's definitely considered throughout our evaluation process on guys having successful winter leagues. We have scouts consistently over there checking out guys as far as minor league free agents goes and checking in on our guys. So it's definitely talked about within our leadership group of who's performing and who's struggling a little bit. But, yeah, I think there's no doubt that it gives guys an extra edge coming into spring training for those who've had success in winter ball, and it's definitely something that we consider when evaluating teams and spots.
The Assistant Director of Player Development, Hector Crespo, joining us on the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation. All right, Hector, here we go. We're going to put you on the spot. We're going to throw a bunch of names at you. I'll start with Lewin Diaz. We saw him in Miami for 14 games in 2020, another top prospect in the organization, an organization that is loaded with top prospects. He goes down to the Winter League in the Dominican Winter League this offseason. And again, I'm sure guys are working on their game in their entirety, but when you guys talk to Lewin, you send him down to the Winter League. What specifically were you asking him to work on?
Yeah, so yeah, Lewin played this winter in the Dominican Republic Winter League for Estrellas Orientales. And yeah, and Lewin picked up right where he left off in last year in 2019, in a year where he was voted as the Rookie of the Year for the entire league. This season, he was the everyday first baseman and hit in the middle of their lineup, predominantly in the cleanup spot, in a lineup which had the likes of Fernando Tatis Jr. and Robinson Cano. And yeah, Lewin displayed consistent contact throughout his ABs, played exceptional defense as we've been accustomed to seeing on a consistent basis. And for most guys that we'll talk about on this list, it's mostly just getting ABs. Obviously, with the shortened season and not having a minor league season, the main emphasis with our guys was getting out there and getting consistent at-bats and playing in games. This was a big year for developmental-wise for a lot of our players, and we were happy that Lewin got to go down there and play a significant role in that club.
Well, then I'm going to switch it up a little bit because there's a name in there that intrigues me, and his name is Anthony Maldonado. And I saw he's 11th round pick from Bethune-Cookman, and he's put up some pretty good numbers in the minor leagues. And then you see that name there, you talk about at-bats. But what does this guy feature that he's been able to have the success that he's had?
Yeah, JP, that goes back to what you said originally where we emphasize just the quality of guys participating in winter ball and as you've seen Anthony's success down there in Puerto Rico. Yeah, they've kind of utilized him out of the pen and kind of been their go-to guy coming out of their bullpen. So, yeah, he blends in a low to mid-90s fastball with an above-average slider and solid command of both pitches. And, yeah, it's testament to his success in college, and we made him an emphasis in the draft. And he was another guy who we didn't get to get too many eyes on, being that we had no season this year. But he went out and put in the work this offseason, and it's displaying now in winter ball.
Hector, back to the offensive side of the baseball. Joe Dunand, now 25 years old, drafted in the second round by the Marlins back in 2017 out of North Carolina State, where he had an unbelievable college career. So he's been in the system now for 3 years. He's had some good, some ups, maybe some downs, and now he's gone to the Winter League, where he's hitting .319 and on-base percentage of .398. I know early on there was videos all over the place of him just tearing the cover off the baseball down there. Look, I know he's a little older, but this seems like a kid that's really starting to come into his own in professional baseball.
Yeah, 100%. Joe was by far the most productive Marlins player to participate in Winter Ball League this season. Yeah, he had a breakout year. I mean, he slugged .542 and had an OPS of .939. And not to mention, defensively, he also excelled. He took over the reins this year at third base for the club, and for his efforts, he was awarded the league's Gold Glove Award for that position. So he's predominantly played shortstop with us with some experience at third base. But, yeah, we could not be more encouraged by his development and the way he progressed and his efforts this year in winter ball.
You know, I'm not the biggest numbers guy. I'm a big visual guy in a sense as well. And I'll tell you what, one of the guys you guys picked up was Jesus Sanchez in the trade, and I love this guy's swing. I think this guy, I mean, just watching how smooth of a swing in he has and just how he can drive the ball to out of the ballpark the other way, that's, as a catcher, that scared me because I knew that I had less room to work with. Talk to me about Jesus Sanchez.
Yeah, another guy that we acquired from Tampa Bay. Yeah, like everything you said, JP, really excited about the caliber player that we were able to bring in on his end. Yeah, and his focus this year in winter ball was just his timing and balance with an emphasis on his play discipline. So like Lewin, just getting consistent ABs and putting in that work and kind of going over what we gave to him as far as a player development plan and focusing in on what he needs to do to come into 2021 and compete for a job. So, yeah, really happy with the caliber player that we have in him. And it's just continuing to emphasize the work ethic and making sure that we get the best out of his skill set.
Do you think that he has middle of the order potential for power and speed?
Absolutely. I mean, what you're talking about, just as far as power to all fields, this guy has it all. He puts a show on in BP, and the fact that we have a power potential bat like this that can hit in the middle of our lineup is something that excites us very much.
Hector, let me throw a couple of names at you and two guys that Marlins fans have had an opportunity to see plenty of. That would be Eason Diaz and Harold Ramirez. Harold yanked his hamstring when he came back this past year. I know you guys were very encouraged by how he came to spring training in 2020. It just didn't obviously work out in this abbreviated 60-game season. Similar circumstance with Eason Diaz. So when both of these guys go down and play in winter ball, does it come back to, like you mentioned, a matter of go down there, fellas, it was really a lost year for you in 2020. Let's get some at-bats. Let's get going here before spring training starts.
Yeah, and like you said, this is a tough year for both those guys. They couldn't really be in the lineup like I'm sure they would have hoped. But, yeah, as most of our fans know, when Harold Ramirez is in the lineup, he can flat-out hit. He's got a natural feel for the barrel and puts together consistent competitive at-bats, and he's displaying that as well in Colombia right now, hitting over 340 and leading his team to a playoff run in that league. And same goes for Eason, great player and really excited about his future with us. Yeah, going down to Puerto Rico and getting some ABs and some playing time for their playoff run as well and playing well down there. So we got big hopes for both guys coming into the 2021 season and hope to keep them healthy and ready to go.
You know, one thing you guys have emphasized as well is development throughout the the organization. And you guys have done a phenomenal job of doing that and making it a priority and having the prospects and having not only just prospects, guys that are coming up and making, an impact, but This guy's on the list, and I was looking at the list and thinking he's 17 years old, and Jose Salas. And obviously, when you make that kind of money on a signing bonus, you're the real deal in a sense. How obviously he's a little far down the line, but how special is this kid?
Yeah, JP, this guy's really special. Jose was by far the youngest player in the entire league in Venezuela this year. He's approximately 10 years younger than the league average player. He was the premier name amongst our latest international signing class. And since he's been here, he's been everything as advertised in signing with our club. It's a testament to his character and skill set that he was able to compete in such a competitive league at a premier position at only 17 years old. So we think the world of Jose, and we think he has a chance to be a highly impactful player for our organization and are looking forward to his development in the years to come.
If you want your night ruined, Jose Salas was born on April 26, 2003, bilingual from up in the Orlando area. Hector, I had an opportunity to chat with Jose on the podcast, probably a couple of months ago when he first started playing down there. But I'm wondering from your perspective and the entire baseball operations standpoint, when you send a 17-year-old kid to play winter ball, there's a chance, you know, I guess he could just get exposed and that he couldn't be ready. And there's no way you guys send him down there if he's not ready. But is that always a concern that a 17-year-old is going to go play professional baseball against other big leaguers? We don't want any confidence ruined if he doesn't find success down there.
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely a worry. But I think, like you said, if you get to speak with Jose for even 5 minutes, you'll notice right away he's very wise amongst his years. He's 17 going on 30, it seems like. So I think just for a maturity standpoint, we had no doubt that he'd go down there and compete and show his skill set off. Obviously, it's a tough league, and being at 17, there's some gaps there, especially having only a handful of games in professional baseball, but really encouraged about his profile and what he's going to become.
Hector, a couple of more minutes with you. The organization recently brought in Sandy Leone, 31 years old. He debuted back in 2012. He's got plenty of big league experience, parts of nine seasons between Boston and Washington and most recently Cleveland in 2020. I think I saw he hit a home run last night. But what is a guy, an experienced veteran catcher? He's down there, but bigger picture here, what is he going to bring to this organization?
Yeah, we identified Sandy as a perfect fit as far as makeup goes, and serves as that veteran presence that will help excel and develop our young starting pitchers. Yeah, can't say enough about what we've heard as far as makeup goes and just his presence in a clubhouse. So that mixed with our young pitching staff, we're hoping that he takes that leadership role and can bring the best out of those guys and help lead them to what we deem as prospect worthy and championship competitors.
Hector, how exciting is it to be in a position where you're at, where you get to watch an organization who has come in and really just completely changed the entire minor league system, and now you're out here and you have an opportunity to just watch top to bottom the future of the Marlins, and fans don't understand that in the sense of that there's something going on underneath and there's a plan, and you get to see that firsthand and you get to be a part of it. How special is it to watch where this organization is going?
Yeah, it's really special, especially for me, just being born and raised in Miami, and this being my hometown team. Just the ability to work here is a blessing in itself, and to be in this role in this position and see the amount of talent and athleticism and prospects that we have running around these backfields is exciting. When we're out during spring training and in minor league camp, usually try to lock in on one field as far as players goes, because that's usually where we have our guys, but and where we're at right now, you gotta have a rubber neck to look around, because there's so many players and you want to be on all fields at one time. So can't express how excited we are with the caliber of players that we have, and it's the mission's not done. Our goal is to continue to build a system where we're pumping them into the major leagues and having consistent success amongst our major league team and our player development system.
All right, Hector, I've got a list of about 100 more names, but we'll save them for a later date. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Terrific stuff. And, it looks like in about 6 weeks from now, we're going to have an opportunity to see you in Jupiter. So stay safe, stay healthy. We'll see you soon, Hector. Thanks for the time.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me, and looking forward to seeing you all.
All right, that was Hector Crespo, the Marlins Assistant Director of Player Development. And, JP, I think, you know, we've had an opportunity to talk about this in the last couple of years, but it really is unbelievable when you see what the organization has done and just return this thing. And now they're a top five organization in all of Major League Baseball and some of the talent that's on its way and that we've already had an opportunity to see in the big leagues.
Well, I think, honestly, you just see what Derek Jeter has done.
Yeah.
In a sense, he came up through a Yankees organization that they built. I mean, these are guys that he came through an organization with and built the dynasty. And he's won, and he knows what it takes to win. And then you start supplementing all these phenomenal names, new GM, which is super exciting. I just think that the way that they've gone about it, and although some people may have been at the beginning, oh, you know, we're doing the same thing, selling all this stuff, they've stuck to their word from day one.
And no question.
That to me, even as a player, I'll tell you what, as a player, because you feel that. You actually watch those things and you hear the same song and dance, you know, we're going to try to do this, we're going to try to do that. But when somebody says something and they execute exactly what they're saying, that's when you get excited to be a part of an organization like that. And that's what's going on.
And I think, you know, if you're being really honest with yourself and you take a look at 30 organizations, if you have 10 top level talent minor leaguers in your system, guys that you deem are going to be big leaguers, you know what, majority of the time, two, three of those guys might pan out. But if you go to Jupiter, like, you see it, you know, you see the way guys are hitting the ball, the way they're throwing the ball off the mound, you can see that, he might be there someday, but he looks good like a AAA. But like, you see, like, big league baseball players.
And one thing that Hector said that stands out to me, what they've done throughout the organization, is athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys.
Oh, yeah.
They're walking around. This isn't nothing against the 5'7", because obviously Altuve has
Eddie shoes. Alvarez. Hey.
Yeah, Eddie, but you're walking around these guys, and they look like
big and strong.
They look
mature.
Like, this is just a different breed. And honestly, it just makes a difference. Athletes can make adjustments. Athletes, this is a game where look at around some of the best players. They're the most athletic, hands down. Tatis, Trout,
yep.
Lindor. Athleticism is something that you can't just really teach. You can teach skills.
Yep.
And now you put that together with these players who are skilled players with being superior athletes. That's when you can make star caliber players. And I think that's what they're starting to produce. And I think everybody got to see that last year when Sixto Sanchez came up. And you hear these things of, oh, we have a guy who can make a difference. And then all of a sudden, everybody's watching every fifth day, yeah. Sixto toe the rubber.
Yep. No question. There's a lot to look forward to in Miami and a lot more to look forward to when we come back. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll break down the National League East a little bit. There's a new sheriff in town. Her name is Kim Eng. I'll ask JP about that. You're listening to the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation, right here on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff, driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports. Ain't no coming back from
here. Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app alongside JP Arancibia. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Kyle Seeloff, and if you're ready to buy a new car, you can get New Year savings now at AutoNation. And if you're ready to sell your car, AutoNation makes it as easy as ABC. A, any AutoNation store. B, bring in your car. C, get a check on the spot. They're going to buy your car, whether you buy theirs or not. You'll get a check on the spot in as fast as 30 minutes. You can turn it into cash now. Sell your car fast at AutoNation. Visit AutoNation.com. All right. Got about 22 minutes left in the show tonight. Garrett Cooper will join us in just about 5 to 10 minutes. JP, want to take a quick look at the National League East, but before we do that, I mentioned there's a new sheriff in town, and an unbelievable story in Major League Baseball this offseason. Kim Eng is the Marlins general manager. I think the story is still unbelievable, but most importantly, she's a tough cookie, and I think she's going to be an excellent general manager.
Yeah, listen, I was telling you before we got back on air, the resume speaks for itself, and just to hear what others, her peers, have said about her, you hear many of just large characters in the game of baseball that have done so much to change in the game, been so successful at high positions, sing the praises the way they have of Kim. To me, that's something that's special. And then, again, breaking barriers. As a player, I didn't care, woman, man, whatever gender.
Yeah.
If you are good at your job, you deserve to have that job and that opportunity, and to break the barriers of, I saw a post that to me was really special of a young girl watching her when they introduced her to the Marlins, and when they had that press conference of thank you for opening up the dreams of my daughter, giving another opportunity, and then again, all the barriers that she broke, but then now you sit there and you go, okay, there's a baseball mind, and she's got a dang good baseball mind, and the Marlins are happy that they broke that barrier because she's special.
Yeah, and Red Sox just hired Bianca Smith as the minor league coach. She's the first African-American to serve as a coach in the history of professional baseball. But with Kim, the one thing that stuck out to me, and I've had an opportunity to talk with her, she is thoughtful, she is composed, I think she is fierce, but if you put all of that together, you have a general manager that's not going to leave any stone left unturned. Like, everything is going to be in detail, and you feel very comfortable in the sense that nothing will be made a decision that is reactionary. It'll be meticulously thought out, and they're going to believe with 100% certainty that what they're doing is correct.
No doubt, and you add that to just watching her composure and her how she speaks, but you also, I think you can see that she's got that killer instinct, which I think that you have to have as a GM. I mean, you look at AJ Preller, what he's been doing in San Diego of really doing things that people don't expect.
Yeah.
I believe that she has, like, I would not want to be on the other side of the call trying to get away with a trade that may not be as beneficial to the Marlins. You just know that although thoughtful and composed and all these different words that you can say from just watching her press conference, she seems like somebody that's going to drop the hammer when needed, which is something that I like.
I agree with you. I get the sense that what she wants is what she's going to get, and she's going to attack it until the job is done, and that translates to wins and losses, and hopefully not too many losses, but certainly a lot of wins here in Miami. Okay, I lied. We're not going to take a look at the National League East because we need to take a break, because coming up next, Garrett Cooper joins us right here on the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff, driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. You can experience opening day live. Yes, live at Marlins Park this season with the opening day bundle, $65. Build the bundle, tickets to three games, including opening day, plus a choice of a Marlins cap, including floral options. That'll look really good. Visit marlins.com/bundle. Alongside J.P. Arencibia, I'm Kyle Seeloff. Joining us now to wrap things up tonight, Marlins first baseman Garrett Cooper. Coop, happy New Year. I hope all is well. How you doing?
Doing well. Just got back to Miami a few days ago. I spent the offseason in California, so you know, it's good to be back, good back working out here and, you know, getting back to baseball stuff here.
Coop, I anticipated you said California. I didn't know if you treated yourself. I know we can't go anywhere, but I didn't know if you were going to say I spent 3 months on the coast of Italy or something. No?
No, it was not too extravagant. Just went home with my fiance, and we got a place near where my parents and all my brothers are in Manhattan Beach. So just to spend some time out there. You know, they weren't allowed to come to any games with COVID protocols this year, so I hadn't seen them in a long time.
Well, and I know in the offseason you signed a contract. It seemed like it was one of a diamond. There was a diamond on it, and so I saw that you also signed a long-term deal. So can you talk about that as well? Because it seems like you have been making some hot stove moves.
Yeah, you know, I think it was about time that you know, I popped the question. Is we were together for about 4 years. So I think, you know, that's the best long-term contract that I could sign.
What's more nerve-wracking, Coop, getting in the box and hitting that home run at Wrigley Field or dropping down to one knee?
I think it was asking her dad was probably the more nerve-wracking part of it all, to be honest.
Well, Coop, there is news out there that everybody is planning on a full spring training and a full 162-game season. And I know in the dog days of summer, it feels like sometimes it may never end, but I think everybody's looking forward to 162 games. Are you getting ramped up? Are you ready? Have you been ready for a month? What does the offseason in a weird one probably look like for you?
Yeah, you know, I think this offseason was definitely different. You know, playing, getting into the playoffs and, you know, getting to the division series. You know, I think it pushed back my offseason, you know, program a few weeks. But, you know, just this whole year has been, you know, out of the ordinary. But, you know, I'm ramped up. I'm, you know, increasing, you know, more time in the cage, more time ground balls, more time running. You know, as we get closer, because we were told, like you guys have heard, that, you know, we're shooting for 162 in a normal spring training. So, it's, you know, coming off of last year where you only played 60 games and you had such a long time off, I think, you know, I think everyone's excited to get back to normalcy during the season and, you know, move forward with, you know, what we built on last year, you know, with the season we had.
I think I know the answer to this question, but I want to know your answer and why. Thoughts on DH in the National League?
I love it. You know, I think every guy that, you know, likes to hit loves it. You know, I think it takes away a little bit from the utility players. But, you know, it gives a lot of guys jobs and it gives a lot of guys, you know, more prolonged careers that, you know, that's what I'm here. You know, that's what I love. It's a great thing. You know, hitting is number one in my eyes, even though probably our infield coach Trey Hellman wouldn't like to hear that, but offense is my number one and will always be my number one. So, you know, I think I spend a little bit more time, you know, focusing on that, just watching video and all that stuff. So DH is a great addition to Major League Baseball, I think.
And around the league, because that's one of them, I think, with the pitchers having to face three batter minimum. What was the sentiments around the league? You know, whether it be DH or whether it be the extra innings or whatever it may, what did the guys feel about with the rules added to the season?
With our team, you know, I think everyone loved the rules. I think I didn't hear too many negative things about, you know, the changes. You know, I think everyone was on board for the DH. You know, gave more guys, you know, opportunities to get into the lineup. It was easier to give, you know, guys days off or to allow them just to DH. You know, I think the extra inning is good to an extent. I think some of the relief pitchers, you know, taking that loss with a guy on second base, probably some of those guys weren't too happy with their wins or losses. But, you know, I think it's good for baseball to have these sorts of changes, especially going into 162 after only playing 60 games last year. Pitchers are already behind the eight ball by not, you know, having, you know, the full workup that they had, you know, last year, you know, stopping and going. So, you know, you saw with a lot of arm injuries last year with them. You know, I think you kind of want to, you know, do the seven inning doubleheaders just to save some guys' arms. It's he saw a lot more Tommy Johns, a lot more shoulder injuries last year than he normally would. So I think moving forward, you know, especially this year, you know, with the new CBA coming up, or however all that works out, but especially this year coming off of, you know, just a few months season, I think there needs to keep the changes that were in place last year.
Well, Coop, there's one thing that nobody can take away from you guys, and it was that for the first time in 17 years, the Miami Marlins made the postseason. And it wasn't an abbreviated, weird, stressful, trying 2020 60-game season. But I'm wondering, as we look down the barrel here at 2021, are group chats starting to fly around with you guys? And I know you can't let your guard down because this COVID thing is still very real, but are you guys just excited to get right back after this thing and try to replicate what you did last year?
Yeah, you know, I think everyone's excited, you know, especially with, you know, doing something that this organization hasn't done in a long time. You know, it allowed us to get a taste of, you know, what it's like to be in that situation, to be in those playoffs, to be in those tight games. It's exciting, you know, especially for this organization with all the young guys, you know, that are coming up through the system and the pitching that you guys saw and we saw that I saw. You know, it's pretty, you know, it's some really, really, really good stuff. And it's, you know, it's exciting. I'm sure, you know, the front office is excited to see those guys come up and, you know, contribute already to a playoff team. You know, I think everyone is ready to roll. It's just, we're kind of waiting for the exact word on when everything is a go. But, you know, as of right now, we're told that it's the same. Don't come with a different mindset. Get ready to go. And, you know, like 4 or 5 weeks is when it starts again. So, you know, I think moving forward, it's fun to see, you know, how this organization can move forward and, you know, what we need to do to get better, to beat a team like the Braves or beat a team like the Dodgers in the playoffs. You know, because the Braves, you know, they're the division, you know, winners for the last few years. So,
yeah.
We know what we need to do and what it takes to be at that level. So, you know, I think everyone's excited to get and chomping at the bit to get back.
What do you think it is that you guys do need to do, and what lessons did you learn from the postseason, Garrett? And listen, I totally understand. Again, we go back to how unusual it was, and I don't know if the outcome of the divisional series is different, but I think it would have made a big impact if there's 35,000 people and you have two home games at Marlins Park and vice versa at SunTrust Park or whatever they're calling it now, if there's 35,000 people booing you. But you know, what did you take from that experience that you guys think you need to do that you now know that will benefit you next time you're there?
You know, just the experience, especially for a lot of these guys that, you know, a lot of young guys that haven't been to the playoffs. I don't think there were many guys on our team that experienced the playoffs. So, you know, I think some of the, you know, young guys may have got a little bit shell-shocked just being in that situation, but, you know, there was no fans there. So, you know, we had it pretty easy in terms of, you know, playing at the Braves SunTrust Stadium, you know, how loud that place gets. I think that would have, you know, just set us up for set us up for, you know, in a positive way to move forward from this. But, you know, I think with a lot of people that didn't give us the credit or, you know, that we should deserve to be there, it's a short season, you know, all the things that every fan's teams that didn't make the playoffs want to say, you know, I think it's a great learning experience for not just me, but everyone involved. It's, you know, having 40,000 fans boo you is something that you thrive on. I know I thrive on it just because how competitive I am, but just any guy who plays, you know, baseball, you know, you thrive on that kind of setting. So I think, you know, as we move forward, there's going to be some changes, you know, what people need to do to get better. Cause you can't rely on last year. Yeah. Last year's done and you need to move on and everyone needs to get better because we weren't good enough to beat the Braves. And, you know, that's plain and simple. We got beat, and you know, I think everyone took that to heart. And I think we had a long talk after that game, the third game ended, and you know, everyone has to do their part to get better, and that starts from the top and all the way down to the last guy in the minor leagues, because you know, everyone has their opportunity that's going to come, and you know, we need everyone to come up and be their best self.
Coop, experience is the only way you can answer this question, because I would have said that, you know, you would have answered it one way if you hadn't been there. Now you've been there. You've been to the playoffs. I never got to go to the playoffs. You've been to the playoffs. Now you know the difference between the offseason of not making the playoffs and one of making the playoffs. How different is the mindset as far as the fire, the drive, the camaraderie? How much of a difference is it?
I mean, it speaks for itself. It's just you felt – you know, what it was like to celebrate with everyone on your team. You got to experience, you know, winning and moving on and clinching a playoff and all of that. It just makes you hungrier for another, you know, another year of playing baseball to get to hopefully the World Series and win the World Series. Cause you see all those guys win and you see the Braves move on and the Dodgers and all that. And, you know, it makes you hungrier. I don't, you know, that's just part of baseball. And, you know, I think it made this offseason a little bit different in terms of what exactly I needed to work on, you know, as a hitter, you know, as a fielder. You know, I think as you go year to year, you look back at your season and you want to get better. And I think we're hungrier than, you know, every team will say the same thing. They're hungrier than ever the next season. But, you know, I truly believe with all the young guys that we have, they're just going to keep getting better. And, you know, Sandy and Pablo and, you know, and all these guys that are, you know, just the step from the season before to last season for Sandy and Pablo was huge. You know, you saw that's ace potential. You have Sixto. You have all these guys that are, you know, on the brink of being, you know, one, twos, and threes on the staff that, you know, can dominate any lineup in baseball. So, you know, not just for me, but everyone. I think it's a great, great way, especially guys that made their debut last year. It was awesome for them to get thrown into that setting and to, cause you know what you need to do and, you know, to play up here and to be in the playoff push, you have to be at your best at all times.
Hey Coop, we got to run here in about a minute, but we asked folks for some questions on Twitter, and I thought a really good one came in from Mick, and Mick wanted to know, what's your favorite part about interacting with young fans? And I would take that a step further, Garrett. As a Major League Baseball, you have an opportunity to impact young kids' lives, boys or girls. So what does it mean to you when a kid asks you for your autograph and just being able to give back? How important and how special is that?
You know, that's huge, because I was that kid, you know, earlier in my life going to Dodger games and Angel games growing up. So, you know, you take into account, you know, how blessed you are to be in this situation and, you know, how great it is and how many kids look up to you. And it's awesome. You know, just going around here in Miami, you know, you see all these young kids, if they see you in public, it's, you know, gives you that big confidence boost, you know, to help them or to show them that, you know, that, you know, you care, that, you know, stopping and signing their baseball or taking a picture. You know, we do this, I do this, you know, to make, you know, other kids, you know, dreams hopefully come true one day, because I was in that situation. And, you know, JP will tell you, it's, you know, you love to see the look on a kid's face after you sign or take a picture with them. It's just, it's something that, you know, as an athlete, it's great to be in that situation.
Yep. Garrett Cooper, thank you for the time. I love chatting baseball with you. We love chatting baseball with you. And I'd really like to do it when we get to spring training. But most importantly, I'm going to ask you how the wedding planning is going and location, how it's going, what the meal's going to be, and on all that good stuff. So maybe we'll talk baseball in a couple of months. But thanks for the time, Garrett.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hi, Coop.
All right, Marlins first baseman Garrett Cooper. I think Ricardo would get mad if we did this for another hour, JP. I'm sure you're a busy man, so thanks so much for the time.
No, are you kidding me? I'm so excited to be looking at a baseball field and know that baseball is right around the corner. So this is the Christmas for me right now.
No doubt about it. Baseball 1 month away. We'll see you in Jupiter soon. For Ricardo Wanche and JP Arancibi, I'm Kyle Seeloff saying so long and good night. And thanks for listening to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.